Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favourite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah!
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited because the Oz Network is now on Patreon! That's right, your favourite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made. You're listening to the Oz TV podcast, only on the Oz Network.
Well, what do you? It's Ben's birthday! Yay!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to me. I'm 103. You look like a monkey and you smell like one too. We're also here to do 24. See, why do I have to host this crap on my birthday? Season 6, episode 23, 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. The episode where Ricky Schroeder goes blind. Oh, no, not this one. First aired on the 21st of May, 2007. Written by Joel Surnow, Michael Losev, directed by Brad Turner. Nobody gives a shit about this show anymore at this point. Everybody has literally gone to bed. They've turned the light. They've drunk their prune juice. They've fallen asleep. On May 21st, I will say, in 1937, a Soviet station, North Pole 1, becomes the first scientific research settlement to operate on the drift ice of the Arctic Ocean. Cool. In 1934, Osakaloosa in Iowa became the first municipality in the United States to fingerprint all of its citizens. Cool. And in 1992, after 30 seasons, Johnny Carson hosted his penultimate episode and last featuring guests, Robin Williams and Bette Widner. Bette Midler on The Tonight Show. Who would you prefer, Robin Williams or Bette Midler? Of course the answer is Bette Midler.
Robin Williams. Well, your answer would be.
It would be Robin Williams, but no disrespect to the great Bette Midler. That's a woman right there. Do you like Bette Midler?
We talked about it in Get Shorty. That's like, you know, oh, this is like your mom's favorite. You know, like, I don't think my mom liked Bette Midler. But, you know, that's like an old lady
thing.
Well,
she should have. And it's Josh Allen, great Buffalo Bills quarterback's birthday on May the 21st.
Oh, way better than Josh Bauer.
Anything is. Is there anybody else remotely famous? This is one of those days where it's all like little kids and YouTube stars.
You're not allowed to talk about him.
I cannot see anybody here that I've ever heard of in my life.
You don't know who you share a birthday. I can tell you off the top of my head people I share a birthday with.
This is May the 21st. That's not your birthday.
23rd. Oh, you're talking about your. Oh, I thought. Here I am. I'm thinking this is a Ben Water with Vanity.
No,
project.
This is on the May the 21st area.
Your birthday.
You want March 18? I share a birthday with Mel Gibson, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty
happy
sure.
Day for Australia.
And I think there's somebody else quite famous on my birthday. But no, I'm pretty sure Mel Gibson's the most famous one on my birthday. Adam Levine.
Australian racists unite on one day.
Adam Levine. true. is apparently a March 18 baby. Vanessa Williams, birthday. Grover Cleveland, U.S. president. Apparently Mel Gibson isn't even on this bloody list. Irina Cara. What a feeling. Who's on your birthday? Oh, Queen Latifah.
On my birthday or yours?
Mine.
I've got Kerry Russell, Randall Park.
Okay.
Jamie has the best, though. Jamie's got Sean Bean and Jennifer Garner.
Oh, that's not bad. Actually, no, I'll correct myself. I'm not Mel Gibson's birthday. Mel Gibson's birthday is the same day as Michael Schumacher's birthday, 3rd of January. I knew there was a connection with Mel Gibson somewhere. No, not Mel Gibson. But
we're going to get to the episode eventually, but...
we will.
Happy birthday to all those people.
Nothing. Let's go to January 1st, famous people's birthday, January 2nd. Wait till we get to May the 7th. All right, yeah, my name is Ben, and fuck, I hate this episode. My name is, I haven't even written down a quote here. Oh, I'm going to, let me try and do this in the exact way Ricky Schroeder delivers this line. And my name is Ben. The component was a fake. It blew.
All right, and my name is Colin, and I don't want to go anywhere with you. I hate you.
Seriously, it's like, it blew.
I think that you just decided you hate everything about this character now because he's not bad anymore.
Watch that delivery of that line and tell me he doesn't say boo.
Like ticket stub, Ricky Schroeder.
This episode is so bad. It's so boring. Like, I'm so intrigued to hear you remotely defend this episode. What happens in this episode? Josh and Ricky Schroeder hang out at the beach and have a stupid little argument. Jack somehow gets rescued. But what is Bill doing? Why is Bill being raided by the FBI and could just leave and then save Jack? Why is Karen? This is bad.
There are some dumb things that happen this episode, but I like a lot of this episode. As I said last week, this is a calm before the storm. You already mentioned, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, about like everybody remembers like the oil rig set and everything. So I completely forgotten that like this episode actually has them on the beach. And this is, so I'm watching this episode. I'm like, I know why they're near the water. I know where they're going after they hit the water. And even some of the other stuff, like, yes, it's silly why Bill's being raided by the government. But the scene where Bill, you know, has to rescue Jack, like, I love that scene. And I love the James Morrison's performances. He's like trying to talk down this guard and everything. Like, there are some really good scenes in this episode that save it. And I'm going to say right now, this is what they should have done with Ricky Schroeder from the beginning. I mean, it is
a complete blind, yes.
No, but it is in complete contradiction to everything that this character was introduced with. Which is the problem with him is that they literally did pivot where they just started with a character like, we went too far with this. Let's just have him be a completely different guy. Nothing connects the dots here, but they finally have really hit on something with this character, which is unfortunate that this is basically kind of the end of him.
But
he does more to make me feel for Josh in this episode than I think Jack or Marilyn or Graham or Philip or anybody else has this entire season.
I can't disagree more because I just do not care for this character. I think he's terrible. I think Josh is terrible. I'm literally watching an episode of the two worst characters in 24 history hang out at the beach. I'm sorry. This is just, I kind of wish I made this the worst episode of all time at this point, but it's second worst of all time. And also like, yeah, I'm all like next week. A part of what I like about next week is kind of like we've finally got this like epic set. Like it's almost like a James Bond finale where we're on an oil rig. But like the way they're setting this up, it's like what is with this gospel music? This like I love
I
you,
like
Sean,
that. That's epic.
But like, is it though? But like it can be epic, but this doesn't warrant epicness. It's two people on a beach for 42 minutes. Like, I mean, if this is what Baywatch was.
It's calm before the storm.
No, but like this is my argument. It doesn't warrant this. They're building up to something that just has not earned our epicness. And it's so dark. Like, I mean, I get it's like 5 a.m, but I mean, God, the sun comes up so quickly on this show. There should be some twilight. It's like pitch black and it's just like you can hardly even see anything. It's just, no. I'm just going to like go through this so quickly. I'm sorry. You can talk about what you want. I think I'm going to go through this chronologically too because I just can't be fucked. Josh and Derpface are on a helicopter. Oh, where are you going? Where are you taking me? He's like, Josh, we need to do this. I'm going to rescue you and I'm going to put some smart blood in you. Ow. Like, what? And like,
smart.
Like, what is it? Basically smart blood. Like, they've stolen this from Casino Royale. Well, no, that was, well, I don't know. Bond did it 300 times in this Daniel Craig era. I even lose track of which one's which. Whatever.
Oh, now I'm thinking Casino Royale. I just wanted that scene where this is going to sting a little and Josh just looks at the camera and goes, ow.
See, I would have bought that if you actually did something. Evan Ellingson, you little shit.
God,
rest in peace, Evan Ellingson. I'm sure. I'm sad you're dead. It's not nice. Don't you're younger than me. Like, but like, I can't, like, I'm sorry. Like, in a world where, like, if Kevin Spacey died tomorrow, people are going to be like, oh, sucked in. You deserve to die. Still a human being. But hasn't he just been uncancelled now anyway? I don't know. He apologized and he got, I don't follow pop culture anymore. I'm old. But the point is, like, I don't know what the point is, but just move on. They're on a helicopter. I don't want to die. John Cassar's son's back here, Ryan with Jack. And it's all like, you're like, what does he say? Like, am I under arrest? What am I being charged with? It's like, nothing. It's like, you're just under arrest. It's like, what am I, black? I had to get there. It's March 18th. It's my birthday. I'm allowed to be racist. It's one day you're allowed to get away with it.
Mel Gibson's coming out.
Somebody's about to cancel me. Well, wait, it's his birthday. It's fine. It's like, and that wasn't racist. It was inconsiderate. It was a joke. There's a difference. I wasn't discriminating against a person's skin color. I was just making a joke with poor taste.
Just think, people. Ben has the ability to edit all of this out and doesn't.
Because I test our listeners. One day somebody's going to hear this and I'll get cancelled. And everyone's going, oh, cancel Ben Waterworth. And I'm like, well, good, somebody listened. And it took you 1,200 episodes. Like, you didn't listen to the other 1,199. Noah was on some of those. Anyway, so Jack's like, why is Jack allowed to call people if he's under arrest?
Yeah,
what is he doing? And like Chloe, like Marilyn. This is I'm saying this might be Marilyn Ratchcombe's worst performance ever in 24. She
is hands down
phoned it in this episode. She is not even there. Don't even get me started on her collapsing. So she's like, oh Jack, hi Jack. Oh, I thought you were under arrest. Oh, yes, they took Josh because they're trading him over because they're going to get the component. Like, why? Like, this is my thing when I was saying last week about it's so hypocritical of, like, the president, everybody to do this against Jack. Like, this is Jack, what he was doing and the reason why the chip has been taken in the first place. Like, I'm not going to let this chip get into the hands of these people. I'm going to get it back. So then why all of a sudden are, like, the president, they're not going, like, oh, we're not going to let the chip get into the hands of these people. Like, we're not going to let Josh get into the hands that we're going to get him back. Why are they just like, yeah, we'll just get him. Like, I mean, this is where they need to, like, be doing what Jack's doing and getting Jack's on board. Like, it's just needless conflict for conflict's sake and because you've got no other conflict at the end of this season that we have to create it. It's just, so then... Yeah, the present. Oh, here we go. Jamie, yay, something good this episode. Jamie, yay. What's for dinner, Colin?
Oh, it's pasta.
Yum. That looks good. So vice president, they're still calling him vice president. Why haven't they sworn him in? Wayne Palmer's got his brains hanging out of his ears, basically. So anyway, so he calls up Subaru. Hey, old Russian pal. So about that whole thing, sorry about that. But we're actually really going to get the component. How do I believe you? You're American. You lie. You're American pig dogs. You have 2 hours. Why 2 hours, sir? Because that's when the season will end. We need tension. Again, this is just the world of 24. Why 2 hours? Why not an hour? Why not half an hour? Why not 5 hours? It's very specific, President Suvorov. Sorry, you look like you're about to say something, but you wanted to help us.
I was about to take a forkful of food.
We had visual cues off each other, and he kind of had a half mouth open. Oh, Colin, to say something. He's like, oh, pasta. So anyway, cool. Stakes are high. Karen rings Jack. Hey, Jack, how you doing? You're not too good, Karen. You're about to get rid of my nephew, who I've never talked about until this season, and I've only seen a couple of hours this season, but now I care about him more than the world. What? Here's an idea. John Cazar, Howard Gordon, why not make this Kim? Why don't you bring Kim back and for some reason make this all about Kim so we actually care about this character? I mean, I don't think, you know, James Cromwell wants Kim Bauer, but, like, I mean, still, at least we give a shit about Kim Bauer. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, it just make it somebody that we know and care about. Like, for God's sake, bring back Connie Britton. Like, bring back her son. We care about him. Care about Connie. I haven't mentioned her all year, Colin. So, Connie Britton. There we go. Everyone can be relaxed. My birthday.
There was
name who I want.
I already forgot who it was, so it didn't have the same impact. But there's somebody I heard about recently that decided to, like, a celebrity who decided to unfollow everybody on Instagram.
Oh.
I'm like, now you're just trying to be Connie Britton.
Who would do that?
You are not the same thing.
Was that, like, on the news? Can we Google that?
Oh, probably. I'm celebrity. Sure it was Taylor Swift or something.
Who, this is how much I don't want to talk about this episode, who unfollowed everyone on Instagram. Oh, Zendaya. Ugh.
Oh, there you go.
Fuck off,
I said Taylor Swift close. You're no Connie Britton.
No, you're not. You're not even Connie Scotland. Like, you're nobody. you're not even the Diet Rob Lowe. You're like the Pepsi Blue. It was a thing for 5 minutes and then everybody forgot it existed. Go away, Zendaya. Ugh. Why is she a thing? Like, who is she? Just stop being a thing. Zendaya.
You personally, stop being a thing.
You don't have the right to have a one name. Like, I'm sorry, only the creme de la creme of human beings can get away with being a one name person. Madonna, Beyonce, Rihanna. Like, come on.
You know who should be a one name person is Connie.
Connie. Exactly. Wasn't that a movie with David Duchovny and the woman
was it?
From My Big Fat Greek Wedding and Toni Collette?
Connie and Carla.
Connie and Carla. I was close. Yeah. It's halfway there. I was Bon Jovi.
You got at least 50% of it.
There you go. Nia Vardalos, bring her back. Where is she? Would you rather Nia Vardalos or Bette Midler?
Nia Vardalos, hands down.
When Noah was... When I was hanging with Noah when I was back in Tassie, we did our road trip to do this like walk with a friend I used to work with. I don't even know how it started, but somehow we started playing a game, Prince or, and we would name like some other famous musician. So I'd just be like, Prince or Madonna? And he'd be like, Prince. And you'd be like, Prince or David Duchovny? And he's like, I'm not even a big Prince fan, but like everybody you're saying, like I would always choose Prince. So now I think I'm going to play Bette Midler or... Is that a new thing this year?
And Zendaya.
Bette Midler or Zendaya?
Bette Midler.
There you go. I think that's our new game for 2024. Bette Midler or pasta?
Pasta.
Yeah, true. Was it Ursula Pasta? I wouldn't want any on ya.
Ursula's on ya. Don't get any on ya.
Bette Midler or Madonna?
Oh, Bette Midler.
Bette Midler or Barbara Streisand?
Oh, Bette Midler.
Bette Midler or Noah? This is a great game.
I'm sorry, Noah, but Bette Midler.
Bette Midler or... Ricky Schroeder. Colin has lost it.
Just seeing Ben's reaction, Ricky Schroeder.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm trying to think of somebody who would be like a lime ball for you. I can only think of people you hate. Bette Midler or Survivor Karamoan.
Bette Midler.
Oh God! We should make a board game. Bette Midler or
Bette Midler over.
That's just our answers, and you got to guess what Ben and Colin on the Oz Network said. Bette Midler or Die Another Day.
Oh, Die Another Day!
Yay!
Oh, you got one.
Colin wins, Bette Midler or... Oh, we're seriously doing that every episode now. Bette Midler or Seventh Ape from the Left on Planet of the Apes. Oh, God. Did she? She did Memories, didn't she? That was Bette Midler. Was that Barbara Streisand?
I think so, yeah.
That was Bette Midler. I always get those two confused.
What's the difference?
They're both white women. They all look the same. All right, 24. So anyway.
Bette Midler or Josh Bauer?
Oh, Bette Midler. Bette Midler's poo. Bette Midler could do a massive floater. There it is. Imagine Bette Midler doing a poo.
Bette Midler or Bette Midler's poo?
Bette Midler's poo, I got to say. Yeah. I'd be on board with that poo. So Jack's on the phone to Karen. Oh, boo-hoo, they're stealing my nephew that we care about. Oh, we can't have that, can we? So then Karen goes to Peter McNichol. Hey, Peter McNichol, how you doing? Bette Midler or Saving Josh? Bette Midler. She's all like, does this not concern you that we should be doing this? Jack's been right all day. And I love kind of like Peter McNichol here. Well, you're not wrong about that. Like a subtle nod to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically he almost like gives her the go-ahead to do something about it without doing something about it. So for whatever reason, Karen's got to go full Jack here against the man, and I'm going to do what I need to do. So who does she call? Fucking Bill, who at 5 a.m. is being raided by the FBI. Now, okay, refresh my memory here. He got sent home, right? Was it ever implied that he was going to be, like, indicted or, like, you know, served a warrant or whatever? This was never implied.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought the whole point was you need to resign, otherwise they're going to press this.
Exactly. So then he gets all stroppy at FBI agent Jenkins here because he's looking at his family photos. That's personal. Like, I'm sorry. Bill, you're dumb. Like, you were the former director of CTU. You would have instigated warrants in your position. Do you really think that FBI agents go, well, okay, well, that's personal. Like, I'm sorry. I'm a terrorist. I'm just going to put things in my personal photo. Well, that's personal. Can't look at that. Like, oh, well, you're right. That's personal. We can't look at it. Like, fuck off, you dickhead. So anyway, Karen's all like, oh, you've got to help Jack because they're going to, like, transfer an innocent boy to stop a component. I want Bill to be like, what the fuck are you smoking? There was a component in these things. Like, what are you on? Like, who's Josh? What's he doing here? Go away. And then somehow Palpatine returned and somehow Bill escaped FBI custody because he's wearing a turtleneck, I guess, so he can do what he wants. How does he get out? Like, this.
I didn't think that he was actually under arrest. I just thought we're taking your house. It is now in possession of us. Yeah. But just that they're, what do we call it, searching his house or whatever. It's like, you ever have a search warrant, I don't think they typically would even let you stay there.
True, that's a solid point. Colin,
but there's a big, I'll just bring it up now. The biggest plot hole in this is that you have the FBI just like, this is a personal photo album. And they just keeps looking at him and he hands it over to him. So then the phone rings. Bill takes a call on speaker. Hi, Bill. This is Karen. I want to talk to you about something highly illegal. The guy just keeps looking at the photo album. He can hear the conversation and he's doing
really
nothing.
Cute children. Your sister's hot.
Where'd you get this taken? The beach? Yeah. There's an oil rig in the background.
Oh, you've been to Omaha? I've been there.
Wait, is that you and Bette Midler?
Oh, it's your mother. Bette Midler or your mother? that's a solid point. But, like, then you've got Jack and Josh. Jack, he wishes he was Jack. Ricky Schroeder and Josh hanging by the beach, eating fish and chips, talking about the weather. And then all of a sudden, fucking Philip, this is like, oh, my God, the ridiculousness of this plot. Hey, is that Ricky Schroeder? Yes, it is. Hi, it's Philip Bauer here. You've got to give me Josh. Okay. Now, you need to turn off all of the stuff that you're watching me with. We're not watching you with anything. Yes, you are. I can see everything. Hold the line for a moment.
This is terrible.
Chloe, damn it. He's got us. He can see everything. All right, let's get around it. We're CTU, a highly trained government organization with the highest technology in the world. Yeah, we can't do it. He's better than us. Like, hire Philip Bauer then. Like, I mean, if I'm President Daniels, I'm going like, hey, so I hear you've got really good technology that can block other people surveilling you. Do you want to work for the government? Don't go to China. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
How about an immunity agreement in exchange for you replacing Cisco teleconference? Because we've been having some issues.
How much is China offering you? $5 billion? I'll give you $1 trillion, mate. Rebuild the U.S. government system. Do you want my job? I don't even like being president anyway. I'm going to complain about it. You do you. I kind of agree with you with the whole nuclear bomb thing. And yeah, I'd kidnap Josh too because we can secretly put him in Guantanamo Bay so we never hear from him again.
Like, would you rather Bette Midler or Red China? Seriously.
You know, babe, that pig's cool. You were the president. You played President Bush in the W movie, so you've got the clearance codes. You're also married to the Queen. You're a pretty connected guy. It's so dumb. Like, oh, he knows that. Like, it's just one of these moments where CTU just looks so stupid. Like, oh, he can supersede everything that we've got. He's opened a socket. It's so stupid.
Don't they call it like Socket 75? Or they even do. A name or something like that?
But I don't even think we touched on it last week. The way they verified that he really does have the sub-circuit board is that he's got like a number on the thing.
Oh, yep. Serial number.
Definitely the one.
And all they do is they check their little notepad. Oh, yeah, that is on here. He could have the exact same schematics you're going off of. This doesn't mean anything.
He can hack into any system. Like, I mean, for God's sake. Yeah, is he? And I'm just, I don't know where I'm going to stop here. Let you talk.
Just go.
I'm just going through
it. You want to stop? Okay, there we go. First of all. Oh, okay. You want me to talk or not?
Yeah, fuck
it. Shut up if you want.
Just go for
So the helicopter scene. Now, this looks incredible with the helicopter flying right along the beach. But why would they be flying that low? What is the logic of, we want to fly about 3 feet above the sand.
Oh, look at
the entire
dolphin.
Distance of the beach. There we go. I can see an oil rig over there. Wonder what's going on. Those lights. Nobody can see this. They're apparently like 30 seconds away by boat.
I just think Ricky Schroeder just going like, fly close for dramatic effect.
But I made the same note here. Like, why do they give Jack a cell? Which, by the way, isn't that something that Lennox says? He's like, Jack Bauer. And they let him have a phone? Called you? Because he even says that when Karen's like, I just talked to him. This is where, like, everybody's given up. All right, so how do we get Jack out of this situation? Because he's... First of all, shouldn't they actually be saying, am I under arrest? No, but you actually were, like, 30 minutes ago. So technically, you still should be.
Yeah.
Nobody's addressing the fact that he was under arrest. Now they're just like, okay, so Jack... How about he calls Karen, and then Karen calls Bill, and then Bill gets away from the government agents who are watching his house, and then Bill breaks him out. But of course, this is going to come back on Karen. So why doesn't it come back on Karen? But it can't come back on Lennox. So Lennox has to give his approval without giving his approval. So he's literally going to say, I'm not going to do this, but I am turning a blind eye, whatever you're going to do, Karen. And then Daniels has to know about this. So then Daniels is going to question Karen about it, but Karen's not actually doing anything wrong, because by the end of this all would have been for nothing because she was proven right. So Daniels then has to say, oh yeah, Karen, I guess you did the right thing, but gee, did Lennox know? No, he definitely didn't know. Interesting. This is the most convoluted way ever, whereas you could have just said, Jack goes and he gets Josh, he's just 5 minutes behind them. You know, like, it's overcomplicating things to overcomplicate it. But they got to give Karen something to do because they remember she's part of the show, I guess.
This is her second last ever episode as well. She's after this season, you never see her again.
And that's unfortunate, because the conversation she has with Bill here, like, it's one of those moments in this episode that I really love. Like, don't hang up on me, Bill, because you sort of know, like, this is sort of the end for them, right?
Mm.
The conference before the storm, you're really getting to something with Bill and Karen here. I love that photo album because, you know, it reminds me of Signs with when they see the news footage of the ships hovering above the cities and they're trying to record it. You got Abigail Breslin, my ballet recital, this, my photo album, sir, we get everything. My photo album.
You just need what's his face, Colkin, going, this is something that our children will be talking about in history.
Yeah, exactly. We need
to use Graham's tape, and it's, what is it, like swimsuit model or something like
swimsuit special, yeah. Bill, this photo album is great. And especially this guy, because you see him in the same shot as he's taking the call on me. You could even have to have a speakerphone. Why is this happening? Yeah, but I like the Joshin.
Or this guy.
This guy.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh.
He's good. He's good at his job. He's a good FBI agent, this guy.
Exactly. I like with the Josh and Ricky Schroeder stuff. I don't know why you're so... I think you just decided you're going to hate everything about this.
It's terrible. There's reasons.
It's not terrible. We have...
Why do you hate Shelley Schroeder? Why do you hate Natalie Portman? Why do you hate Madonna? Huh?
You just decided you hate them. I said I don't hate Shailene Woodley. I don't hate her anymore. I just hate her accent. That's all I hate, her lack of accent or whatever.
Well, I hate Ricky Schroeder's accent.
There you go. I'll own it. I hate Natalie Portman just because she's Natalie Portman. There you go.
And Madonna.
Or do I? Let's wait till we get to me. You know what? I didn't want to admit this early. I actually listened to a Madonna album in full earlier today. so I'll explain what I'm doing because I don't want people to be too disappointed in me here. I decided I wanted to go through like 1994 and 1999 are like thought of to be like two of the greatest years ever for music.
Oh, so 99
like,
to me. I'm going to listen. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I'd go 94 and then 99, but still I'm like, I'm going to listen through all the best albums in 94, which took me only a couple of days. And I got through like 50 albums. So I'm like, I'm going to try to get to 100 albums all from 1994, and they'll do the same thing to 1999. So I'm looking up what are like the best-selling albums. Then I'm looking up what are the ones that won the most awards. What are the ones that are like the kind of under the radar ones? And Madonna's Bedtime Stories is on that, which I listened to. And I mean, a lot of it's pretty pointless, but two or three songs on that I forgot existed. The song Secret, I'm like, that is a really good song. I'm sorry
we
to say.
Got a secret.
And, yeah, and then there's a song called Human Nature, which I completely forgot existed. I'm like, that's a great song.
I mean, at the time of recording this, I haven't seen it, but by the time it released, she does that live at the concert I'm seeing in like a week. But that's a brilliant song. Human Nature.
Yeah, so, she
did,
so there you go.
Spears I don't, did a duet with her on stage, one of her tours many years ago.
Proof, I don't hate Madonna just for sake of hating Madonna. I could say I listened to a Madonna album, but I do have to add in there, I listen to it because I'm listening through literally everything.
I will say that, like, I'm glad that 90, because I have always firmly said 99 is the best year of music, and people will always go, oh, what do you mean? And then, like, in Australia, I guess, what do you have, what's your chart system there called? Not Billboard, I mean, the official chart.
Yeah, what is it called? SoundScan, I think. SoundScan.
Sure. But I'm sure at the end of every year, you would have the SoundScan 100, the top 100 songs of each year. So if anybody ever says to me, like, Ben, like, what, you know, ARIA, as it's called in Australia, I just send them the top 100 songs from 1999. And I guarantee you people look at those songs and go, yeah, there's not really a bad song on this list. And I'm like, thank you. So that's a good project. I like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, I go with 94 over 99 just because I think there's a lot of duplication between artists who had stuff in 94 versus what they had in 99, whereas I think the 94 stuff is better. But I'm with you on 1999, like amazing. Like you go through so many of the biggest songs of the last 30, you go over the last 40 years and so many of them come from that 1 year, 1999. And it's similar with movies. Like how many great movies came out in 94 and 99?
There's a really good YouTube series where they go over certain years in movie history, and they did like a series on like what is the greatest year of movie history, what is the worst year of movie history, and 94 is on that list. But mentioning 94, this is related, tangent, but welcome to the Oz Network. I saw a meme the other day that said if Back to the Future was released today, Marty would go back to 1994 to meet his parents. Does that not make you scared? That is terrifying.
that's because usually true. I'm not one of these people. I'm not one of these people where stuff like Jamie's always asking, do you feel old? I'm like, no. I'm like, I know you feel old, Jamie, because Jamie is like the youngest old lady you'll ever meet. But like, that's one of those things where I'm like, ooh, I think now I feel old.
Yeah.
am I the parents of Back to the Future yet? I'm almost there, a couple years away.
Yep. Anyway, tangent.
Anyways, back to this. So
to the future.
The stuff between Josh and Mike, especially when Mike's debating what he should do, because this, it's not the same character we got at the beginning, but this matches his job. And this is the same reason why I kind of like Nadia late in the season, because she's playing it by the book, but she still realizes sometimes going by the book isn't necessarily the right call, where he's like, just so you know, if I have an opportunity to get the component and not, and get Josh out of here, I'm going to take it. And it's like, no, we're under specific orders. And you just see a little bit of conflict with him. Like, I really like that. And like I said, I like this calm before the storm. I like this. They're just sitting and waiting. And I feel more for Josh here as it's just Ricky Schroeder, who has no emotional attachment to the team. Maybe it's because he has no emotional attachment, but he's like, listen, we can still accomplish both goals here, because in honesty, what they're doing is right. It's not like like everybody else is going to say throughout the course of this episode, including the line Morris has, just so you're aware, I think that this operation is right. And Mike is like, shut up. When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. That moment, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of torn, because like this, you agree with him, but at the same time, this isn't the Mike we're getting now. Like you're not quite sure which Mike you're getting, but the stuff between Mike and Josh, I like it. Josh though, with his, when Mike says, okay, whatever you do, I want you to just play. Or is that with Jack, where he's like, whatever you do, I want you to play it cool with your grandpa. Don't tip him off. That is with Mike, right?
I wasn't paying enough Mike's attention.
But Mike's like, don't tip him off. You know, just go along with whatever he says. And then as soon as he gets the phone, I hate you, grandpa. And you see Mike kind of roll his eyes. Like, how could you not like that? And he's like, oh. But yet at the same time.
Annoying.
But like realistically, if you're Philip Bauer and you've got your grandson calling you, who you already know hates you, and he's like, yes, grandpa, I want to go with you. I am not saying this under duress. Or you say, I hate you. Like, this is the one time Josh actually kind of does the smart thing. Like, yes, he's saying I hate you, even though he's supposed to. This is like Lisa last week. How could you be a Russian spy? And ruining the whole operation. But come on, this stuff's good. And we know they're on the water for a reason. We know where they're going. We know it's going to be this incredible oil rig. You're just shaking your head. He's not even saying anything at this point. He's just,
It's not good. I can't stand these two together. They're so bad. I'm sorry. I completely disagree. And they're just boring. And yeah, the bit you, the Nadia, the, like, oh, say that you won't do anything, Mike. And he's just like, so, did you watch the Dodgers last night? What was that? nothing. Oh, beep, 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 beep. Got another call. Yeah, bye. Like, be blind already. I'm blind. And then, like,
it blew.
It blew. Seriously, it's so Nicolas Cage-esque. It blew. You've got to watch it again. I'm not even doing that because I dislike this guy. It is so over the top. One, two, three. Oh, Nicolas Cage.
I'm Mike Doyle.
Nicolas Cage
Doyle.
Or Bette Midler? No, dumb question. Come
Nicolas
on.
Cage.
What if they would have done a movie together, surely?
I can't really see a world where they would have. But then again, she was in Get Shorty.
The Oracle
Not
of Bacon.
Not that he was in that, but that's
sure,
like
no,
a weird
is, this is a new thing. I need to find out. The Oracle of Bacon. We found out that Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton did a movie together. When are we covering that? I mean, that's just 6 degrees of everything. So we go Bert Midler.
Good old Bert.
Gert Midler. Nicolas Cage. And, oh, God, there's a lot of Nicolas Cages. No, they haven't. So Nicolas Cage was in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with Tiffany Haddish, who was in Camp the Movie with Bette Midler. Oh, when are we doing Camp the Movie? Oh, I've always wanted to do Camp the Movie.
That's the ultimate Bette Midler or month.
Yeah, Bette Midler month. What would you do? What has she been in? Wasn't she in Hocus Pocus, your favorite?
Yeah, that's one of my problems with Bette Midler. Sorry. Oh,
Bette Midler or Sarah Jessica Parker?
Oh, Bette Midler. Oh, no hesitation.
What's the other one? Kathy Najimy or whatever her name is?
Oh, yeah. Well, she'd be number one.
She's in Veronica's Closet. So she's like, what's-her-face's, Kirstie Alley's like best friend in that show from memory. So I like her. Anyway, so they're sitting around a table. They're waiting for, I don't know what they're waiting for. This is the part where it's like a helicopter. A door's like, there's a helicopter flying over the water. And then... I can't see the markings of it. And Morris is just like, oh, well, you know, do you think that could be Graham? Not Graham, Philip? Well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. Okay, no need to get snappy. But anyway.
just turned into Rocky and Bullwinkle here.
Edgar's back. I'm looking at the helicopter. Oh God, it's just so like, why do we need this needless narkiness towards each other? It makes no sense. Oh, it's just a Coast Guard. Okay. This is where Bill shows up with Ryan and he's all like, you're not going to shoot me, Ryan. I was your boss. We're doing this for the greater good. Like, okay. Like it's got a bit of drama to it, but it's in just a pointless episode, which is just pointless drama for pointless purposes. Like you're completely on the ball. It's like, just have Jack follow them. Why do we need to have this? Like Jack puts a gun to Ryan, said, no, not Ryan. Like, is this just Kiefer going like, I hate you, John Cazara. I want to put a gun to your son's head. I want to fucking ticket stub him in the head. So then, like, because Karen's been given access. This is where I'm a bit confused. So Karen is like the national security advisor or whatever she is. So why is she being questioned about getting access to watching an operation? This whole season, we have seen her in situation rooms and other rooms. I'm sorry, the president isn't watching it. He's worrying about his dick with Lisa. Freaking Peter McNichol's out in assignments. Somebody's got to watch a freaking live tracking of an assignment. So I question why Karen is being pulled aside and growled at for this. Like, okay, she's let Jack go. But at the same time, she can easily pass this off as going like, oh, no, I'm just watching a mission. Like, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, oh, Milo's brother shows up. Why? It's been an hour.
Chloe is apparently close enough to even Milo's brother that she gives him a hug. But yet when Milo died, there was no reaction whatsoever.
Exactly. That's a great point. I mean, I mentioned last week about Jamie in season one. Her mother showed up how many episodes later? We even had that with, what's his face? The stupid woman who killed Saunders in season three.
Oh, yeah.
She showed up how many hours after what's his face died? So why is he showing up barely an hour later? Like,
and we just had Division come in. We are very concerned with the security of this place. An hour later, they're letting Milo's brother just walk into a top secret briefing because he walks in the middle of their. It's not even like he's out in the lobby or he's in the cafeteria waiting for you.
It's like 5 in the morning. So let's just go over this. So in the last week,
and a pressman does not get up at 5 a.m. to claim their dead brother's body.
Touche. But like halfway through that episode is when they finally got CTU back to normal. So in the space of 45 minutes, somebody in CTU, they're getting their shit together. They're so used to being attacked that this is why they can do it so quickly. All right, well, we better put that body in the morgue and let's call his brother because, they do that quickly. So let's, even if they called him at 10 to 5, hi, is that Bob Pressman? Hi, it's Jenny in accounts. I'm the only one that's available. Your brother died. Oh, okay, I'll come down and collect the body. Is that not where he would say, how did he die? You know, it's like...
Yeah, this is still in the middle of a top secret operation.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, if you died tomorrow... And your company called Jamie. Hi, Colin's dead. Oh, okay, I'll come collect the body. You're not gonna
that's our only reaction.
Probably like you're gonna be like, how? He was working from home today. because when he comes in, this is what, like 1:30 whatever time. So he's come in, he's gotten dressed, he's done his hair up. Like, I mean, he's obviously pretty close to CTU. And he's just walked in and he's so calm because he's just like, oh, Chloe, oh, well, he's dead. And then he says, you're Nadia. Yeah, he talked about you. How? And then also he's just basically just like, oh, how did he die? He died being a hero. Well, he did love you.
Like, yeah, those most random thing ever.
He just had a bit of a hard dick for a couple of hours. What is he? I just want to see the other side of this conversation. Milo's like forcibly made out with Nadia, and then all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, g'day Bob, how you doing? It's Milo. I just made out with that hot Middle Eastern chick at work. I think I'm in love. Anyway, I'm gonna go. Bye.
If I ever die, make sure to tell her I love her.
Literally what he's done. He's texted her. Oh, check out the rack on her. I'm in love. I just made out with her. So, anyway, stupid Milo. And then, this pointless scene when, Nadia gets the phone call from, is it Chloe for some reason? And then she turns around and then, oh, no, Milo's brother's gone and there's an empty locker. So, oh, no, Nadia's heart's empty. Fuck off. Stop trying to make us feel shit for something that's not even feeling it. What else even happens here? Daniels gets Karen, bad Karen, naughty. Is this where Marilyn's like, where's my son? Where's my son?
Which, by the way, I want to point out the lead-in for the scene, and this has become a very common thing over the last couple weeks. The lead-in for the scene was somebody saying the line, what's the problem? And they respond, Marilyn Bauer.
Yeah.
Said every viewer watching the show the end of season 6.
The funniest bit I like is when I think it's maybe Nadia calls out Morris and he's just like, we need extra security. Oh, already on it. Yeah, we need two more security guards. clearly she's just pathetic. It's just so funny. The little dinghy shows up. I want the boy. Fucking Mike goes blind. It's not funny.
I did watch the scene. It's not quite as exaggerated as you said, but it's, oh, they got the component. It blew.
It blew. But even Ricky Schroeder, when this blows up in his face, he's like, ah! It's like a soccer player getting tackled. It's so dramatic. This guy is the worst. And then Jack shows up and I love he's on the phone and he's all like, oh damn it, they've taken Josh, and oh, Agent Doyle's bad. He's injured pretty bad. I started laughing.
He might be blind in one or both of his eyes.
Dr. Jack, blind Ricky Schroeder. I just want him to be like Neo in the Matrix Revolution.
Bandages, I can see.
He is the one. but then it basically ends because Detective Jack, he goes from Dr. Jack to Detective Jack. He's looking out into the water and he sees some lights. Jack doesn't need to be this smart. This is the most obvious thing ever. They rock up in a little fucking dinghy. And is it Jack or somebody goes, oh, they've only got a short range? No fucking shit, Sherlock. Philip is so dumb that this is what he goes and sends to pick them up in, because this is a short range. That's a short range fighter. It doesn't have hyper. That couldn't have come into space alone. but it's just this tiny little dinghy that goes out and the thing. And they're like, oh, it's too dark. We can't spot anything. If only they worked for a government agency that had a helicopter that was flying with a spotlight.
But that's a problem. They were flying 3 feet above the beach.
Where did that helicopter go? This is a beach. Put on a big spotlight. I've seen the Truman Show.
Meanwhile, this oil rig can actually be spotted from Santa Barbara because it's so huge and well-lit.
Jack sees lights in the distance. If you pay attention to the scene when he's looking out of the water, you see lights in the distance. And Jack's like, oh, that's right. Dad's an oil baron. Like, it's just, everyone comes across as stupid in this episode. And Jack's like, oh, Nadia, my dad owns oil. Check for oil, all oil rigs. Like, I've flown into LA many times, and when you are flying over, like, coming in across the water, you do see the oil rigs. They're not that close. So, anyway, then you've got Philip on the rig, who's basically like, hey, Chang, you're back. Glad you escaped pretty quickly and got to me somehow. It's like, I'm going to give you the components. So again, it's just this, like, whole MacGuffin of, like, oh, no, they're working together again. Like, oh, plot twist. It's so dumb. Just bring me to next week already.
You want to talk about Chloe passing out?
Oh, and Chloe passes out. I forgot about it because it's so dumb. I remember watching I've said constantly, I remember watching season 6 live and never like hating it at the time. I think I always felt like, oh, it feels a bit odd, but I don't hate it. Mm-hmm. It's only in hindsight. This was the one bit I remember going, huh? What? It wasn't like even like for dramatic. Oh, no. Like, because again, I keep talking about having to earn it. Right? Like, Chloe has kind of been so invisible and pointless for the last, like, 13 episodes that, like, you almost forget she's there. This is maybe the most invisible Chloe's been in any season. Since, I mean, even season 3, you would argue, annoying Chloe with the baby was more visible than this. And then all of a sudden we're meant to care. And, like, I've always sold the penultimate episode of a season as being more prominent and more important than the finale. This season does nothing to set up next week as being an important episode. I mean, think about last season with Jack hijacking the president's helicopter. You know, think about season 1 with the reveal of Nina as the mole. Like, I mean, you think about all these other ones that you've had, and this is Chloe collapses. And again, I know Marilyn Ratchkip is not a dramatic actor. We have gone over so many times where you cannot tell that because she does such a good job that you believe she is a dramatic actor. This is the time where I can go, Marilyn Ratchkip, not a dramatic actor. The way she collapses is like, well, oh, terrible.
But even when they get out of the board meeting and Morris is just watching her, she kind of like is just walking a little. It basically looks like she has a limp. Yeah. It's not even like I'm sick. And then let's throw some of the issues with this onto the production crew too, because Morris turns to her and says, Chloe, are you okay? You're looking pale. And then you see her with like this incredible tan on her face, looking the furthest thing from pale. Like all you had to do was slap a tiny bit of white makeup on her and you couldn't even do that.
And my biggest thing is too, is like the way they end this is like, Morris is like, oh, like, get help. Will somebody get me help? You see like one random blonde woman in the background going like, oh, like, why is everybody just going, oh, Chloe collapsed. Why is he having to yell, get help? Like everyone's just like, oh, fuck, Chloe. She's just being dramatic again.
I mean, we saw they did nothing when Milo died. Why should they lift a finger now when Chloe just passes out?
I just want Morris to be there on the ground. Somebody get up. Ew, Milo's blood.
Couldn't you have picked up the man's brains?
Oh,
this is never gonna come out of my. This is never gonna come out of my shirt. Seriously,
hell, this is an Armani. Like I just bought this.
Yeah. I mean, the Chloe pregnancy thing. Like, I had completely forgot that this happened. But like you said, it's one of these things. You have an immediate flashback as soon as I saw her kind of walking weird. Like, why is she walking weird? Oh no, is that what this was? And it all comes back to me. It's so late in the game to introduce this. It's pointless and. It's so soap opera. I feel like we'd gotten past the soap opera stuff at this point. Like, yes, we still have, you know, some of the Nadia and Milo stuff with the brother and all that. But like, as far as flat out soap opera writing and flat out soap opera scenes, just having somebody randomly, oh, I'm feeling faint and just pass out. And again, this is how this is your cliffhanger. Get people to tune back in the next week. Or I guess the next day, because this was like a 2-night finale. Or I don't know. It was even a 1-night. But it's just terrible. But again, I like some of the other stuff here. The scenes with Bill after he gets out with this Turner guy, you know, having the gun standoff or whatever, and Bill with his trying to talk him down, like, I know that you're a good agent and that I was your boss once. It reminds me of that scene in Speed where You got the guy when Keanu Reeves gets on the bus and you got the guy who with the gun, stop the bus. And Keanu Reeves is like, I'm not a cop right now. We're just two cool guys. Like, that's Bill. He's like, I'm not your boss right now. We're just two cool guys hanging out. And of course, Jack is like, we just finished hearing about what a good guy this is. And Jack's like, hit him in the back of the head with the buddy. You're going to knock him out. At this point, you could just say, all right, thanks for the help. Why don't you just walk 20 paces in that direction and we'll be gone. Instead, I'm going to knock this guy out for no reason whatsoever.
This is for your dad giving me so many action scenes.
This is for all the gun shootouts I said not to do anymore.
This is for not letting me break more action figures.
Yeah, bringing in, like, Milo's brother. Like, this is the stupidest thing ever.
Do this in the finale. Like, don't do it a week later.
I mean, don't even do it. Like, talk about earning it. Like, we at least have earned respecting Milo enough that he's dead. But to then bring in a brother, like, I was talking down with Mason's son coming in, how much I thought that was just a little bit too over the top. But, like, at least it had its place. Mm. This guy comes in and then spends the entire time talking about how Milo felt about Nadia. This is where he should be like, he never should have been in this line of work. He's not a field agent. He should be formatting files. Why is he in the path of a gun from a Chinese terrorist? Nothing about this guy's reaction makes any sense. And he throw in the whole, that's why he must have been in love with you. Just give me a break. This is, it's horrible. But I like the standoff with the exchange with Josh. I'm sorry. I like some of the planning that goes into this. Like the whole thing with the satellite. Yes, it's completely absurd. And that's maybe Chloe's second worst moment of this episode, besides the whole, oh, I'm passing out, could he do this, Chloe? Could he be, yes, he's definitely in there. Oh, why don't you switch it back up? I already did. We haven't even seen her fingers move. Like, this is how little effort Meryl is even putting into this part of performance. Yeah, it's a baby. The baby checked for me. But there's not even time for her to do anything. Yes, he's definitely in there, and there's definitely no way that we will ever recover this. And they just give up so easily. But I like some of the stuff with like the tracking him and how long we're going to track him. And then when they neutralize it and, you know, they're trying to switch to a backup feed, but they don't have it. Okay. Now we got to get the satellite coverage back. Like there's some real tension in there about what are we going to do? We got this plan. We got this plan. It's kind of very Mission Impossible. Like, okay, this thing went wrong. Now we got to try this, then try this. I don't think we really needed Jack coming to the rescue here because again, nothing changes. Mm. This is the biggest problem with the whole Jack plot line this week. Is that if you just had Jack go ahead with his plan, you just wouldn't have brought him there in the first place. And then you still would have been in the exact same position. Ricky Schroeder getting his face blown off. I knew you'd like that.
It blew.
But still, it blew. but still, like, you know, it's still something that's even now caught me off guard because I don't remember how Ricky Schroeder got taken. I honestly remember that he just sort of got shot and that was it. But this thing blowing up in his face. Shot in the neck and said he got exploded in the neck. But yeah, like the explosion, it still caught me off guard. So I think it's still effective. But the best thing about this episode, come on, it is the big buildup where you see that oil rig for the first time. Cause even just seeing this one episode, the tease of it, you're like, oh man, that's what I've been waiting for the last, when was episode 4? That was what, 19 episodes for the last 19 weeks. This is what I've been waiting for, getting back to something good. Also, quickly, just adding to the whole thing with Daniels saying, oh, well, Karen was actually right, but she was insubordinate. We shouldn't tolerate this, which he kind of has a point towards. You know, this is one of these things like, Karen, did you really try to get through to Daniels? But then Lennox just saying, it's not going to look good. Karen and Bill can have like a retirement somewhere on some island, you know, and then it's never a problem again. So some of the stuff in this episode is actually a lot better than I think you're giving it credit for.
No.
Wait, you didn't even say it. Just do the shaking hand.
I'll just do what you did last week. No. yeah, and you're right, by the way, the finale did air on the same night, so this would have just been straight into the finale after this.
Well, that's why they put no effort into it.
Exactly. They need like a line from the guy from Jurassic Park when you see the oil rig, and it's like, because Philip's like me. He's on a rigger.
He's a rigger.
He's a rigger. Oh, that line never gets old. Where's our t-shirt? I still want Grant's like me.
He's digger.
I don't really think having the t-shirt that said he's a digger would probably pass. These people would double take while looking at that. What are you wearing in your t-shirt?
That's where you got to spell it. D-E-E. He's a digger.
Oh, true. Yeah, good point. Good point. This is only the second time that John Cazare did not direct the final two episodes of the season, previous being season one.
Even he gave up.
Neither this episode nor the next one featured a split screen in the final minutes. Cool. the trivia in the book, basically, if I'm not mistaken, I did read it ahead of time, and I will get there. On May the 17th, 2007, so 4 days before this episode, Fox announced that it would renew 24 until 2008-2009, adding both a seventh and an eighth season. This was the first time in the show's history that Fox had renewed the series for multiple seasons, which is a big call after this season.
Yeah.
You think maybe after season five they would do that, but...
I wonder what the ratings were, because I know that like the beginning of this season was the highest ratings. How did it hold up near the end?
I think it dropped off.
Yeah, because even at the end of the season, we weren't alone in being like, something is off here. Like, there was a lot of internet talk, because this is the point where, 24 community online, very active, and a lot of people weren't really loving the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure from memory it did drop off. I mean, we can maybe try and find that for the recap in a couple of weeks. But obviously, and we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks when we wrap this season up, thank God. Is that, we had a bit of a writer's strike happen, so got delayed, so yeah.
Sorry, I gotta interrupt you here. For all those people who say that Ben misunderstood a certain line or whatever that Rob Cesternino might have said, I just want to read what somebody, and I was trying to look up ratings, it just brought me to a review website. LylesMovieFiles.com wrote, season 6 to 24 proves the series is a lot like pizza. Even when it's not at its best, it's still good.
Wow, that's a blast from the past. I haven't heard that.
You didn't steal it from Rob Cesternino. You stole it from Lyle's Movie Loves.
You know. Speaking of things that you like, do you ever say lines or do you ever have a phrase that maybe you don't realize where you got it from, but you say it, and then like maybe
like Bette Midler or
exactly. There's a line that I like for some reason would say, and like I would literally be like. Like, fuck you on the horse you rode in upon. Like, it's just some random line. And, like, I just thought it was just, I don't say I made it up. Like, it was just something I heard one time and whatever and whatever. So, I mentioned to you the other day that I watched Eddie because Eddie is a great movie. And shut up, it belongs in my top 50 movies of all time. That is a line from Eddie. Whoopi Goldberg's Eddie says that. To Frank Langella, whatever his name is.
Langella.
Like, she says that to him, goes, fuck you and the horse you rode in upon. I'm like, hey, that's where I get that line from. It's an Eddie line.
I totally thought you were going with this, that Whoopi Goldberg is like, basketball's a lot like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good.
I really want you to rewatch Eddie. I really want you to rewatch it because I feel like if you take the plot, which is one of the most ridiculous plots, like fan from the crowd comes in and coaches the New York Knicks to the playoffs, which in all fairness probably would help them in current times. But like if you take like they play it straight, they play it serious, and it turns into a pretty good sports movie. Like I don't get the hate behind this movie.
The one time I saw that, like back in the 90s, I didn't mind it. It's just one of these, you know, what's weird. I'm trying to look back at it and think, why am I, considering how my love for White Man Can't Jump, why am I not bigger on a lot of the basketball movies? Because like Air Up There, I remember liking the movie when I saw it. It's just not one of these things I go on my way to watch. Although again, I almost watched it the other night. Eddie, I don't remember disliking it. I think that for me, the bar is set so high with White Man Can't Jump where I'm just like, but it's not White Man Can't Jump.
I really want to give you homework in the coming weeks because the time of recording this when I'm away, you've got time. So I want you to find the Air Up There and Eddie, and I want you to watch both of them. And I want you to come back to me and say to me, Ben, maybe not in my top 50, but like they're actually okay movies. Like they're just harmless, fun movies that are good basketball movies.
The whole reason I actually decided I almost wanted to watch The Air Up There is because my nieces that I was talking about, they had a basketball game and I was asking them how they did and they said, oh, we lost like 34-7 or something like that. I can't remember what the score was. And then I was telling them, you know what you girls need? You need your dad to show you a little movie called The Air Up. I was going to tell them a little movie called White Man Can't Jump, but I'm like, some of the stuff in the movie, maybe not appropriate, even for an adult. But I'm like, your dad needs to show you a little movie called The Air Up There. And I looked, I'm like, it's on Disney Plus. I could have watched this years ago. Why haven't I?
The Jimmy Dolan Shake and Bake. Come on. Yeah, I'm bidding it. What are you doing? I'm scared what you're doing with this.
For ranking? So it's not in my top 100.
No, well, you got to buy it, rent it, or bin it first.
I'm renting it.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to buy it.
It's lower tier of my rents, but for season 6, it's pretty strong. Oh. So I'm going to put this at 106 overall.
Colin Hilding, that hurts my feelings. Like, why? What is wrong with you? Bette Midler or Colin Hilding? Bette Midler. I'm putting this at 142nd of 143 at this point. Second worst of this season. And this will finish at 205 overall out of 216. But the good news, if you're a fan of season 6, this is the last ever time I will ever be in an episode of season 6. It's done with. The worst of the worst. It's finally finished with, because next week we get a good episode. I like the finale of season 6. I think it's a good finale. And I want to read my synopsis, and I'll try to not spoil it because there's a bit of spoiler stuff in it. So I'll read this. The last 10 minutes of this episode with Jack, Hella, and Audrey, that's a bit of a spoiler, oops, save this from being a bottom 5 episode. I won't read all that. The hardest part about watching...
Glad you had this contribution this week.
The hardest part about watching this scene is knowing this will be the last time Jack gets to be with Audrey until season 9. Read. And then what do I say? But instead, it is so overshadowed by utter ridiculousness, and this episode has that ridiculousness. The first 30 minutes is essentially a cheap version of James Bond finale with a Shakespearean family plot added onto cheap drama, as well as a bunch of actors trying their best not to be bored out of material and so wanting it to be over with, and Chloe is pregnant. What is this, Days of Our Lives? Yeah, it has some serious issues, but the last 10 minutes, and especially Kiefer Sutherland's performance in those 10 minutes, is enough to save it and place it high on this list. So I would just say that basically the last 10 minutes of next week's episode are great. I mean, some of the action stuff is good too. Like, I mean, the oil rig stuff is pretty decent, but the Jack versus Philip stuff's very cheesy, and then the Chloe pregnancy, yeah, give or take it. But I mean, have you watched it yet? Like, I mean, the last 10 minutes alone is pay your price of admission. Kiefer is on fire next week.
I'm curious that what I was curious about was whether I was going to hold up. I was actually kind of surprised reading your write up. It sounds like you didn't like the action stuff, and the action's what I remembered very fondly from it.
It's fine. It's just, it's very like, again, it's just what happens when Jack confronts his dad. It's just stuff like that.
But that final scene, like, it definitely ranks up there with, you know, some of the, I would put it more in line with like the season 3 and season 4 finales.
Three,
like,
definitely.
It is more of it's more of an emotional thing and all that. So it's one of the more memorables with that. But again, having not seen it since it originally aired, I don't know how well that scene does hold up. Because if you were to describe it to somebody, you'd be like, really? That's how they're going to go out in the season? That seems kind of, you know, a little bit over the top, maybe a little bit soap opery. But I remember it, you know, being a really great scene when I saw it the first time. So I'm excited to get there because the action stuff I did, and maybe I'll have the opposite opinion. Maybe I'll come out of this being like, oh, I really don't like the action stuff as much as I thought I did. Mm. That last scene, great.
To me, I think when we talked about season 3, and that I think you were on board with me, that I remember watching that live going like, that's it? That's your finale? Yeah. That's so stupid. Whereas now, like, it's absolutely loved. I think this was the reaction that I should have had in season 3 at the time. Like, wow, that was... Because, like, without being too spoilerific, you, at one point in this final scene of next week, you think Jack's about to kill himself. And, like, you're like, whoa, okay, are they going there? I remember watching going like, oh, Jack, what are you doing? What are you doing, Jack? So, yeah, it's pretty powerful. And we get Audrey, so I'm not going to complain. It's my birthday, so celebrate me, do stuff and send me presents. I'm still waiting for that Tom Cruise pillow that you were going to send me.
I just heard in our best of, I'm like, oh, I really got to get that made.
Yeah, I want my gay sex with Tom Cruise pillow. So I'm on board for that. Ghostbusters is still happening, which is cool. The Oscars, I think, are done with. They were good. So glad that Kill
Can't
Phil...
Can't believe Ferrari won it all.
Oh, I was going to say Kill Phil 3, but sure. late comer to the award circuit. And all the other episodes that you like, you should listen to, because we're nearly done with season 6. We're done with the crap now. It's over with. One more to go. Like, subscribe, everything along those lines. My name is Ben and... The Blue!
And my name is Colin, and Colin Hilding... or Bette Midler.
Thanks for downloading this episode of the Oz Network. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to the podcast via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or by copying our RSS feed into your preferred podcast provider. And while you're there, please drop us a rating and leave us some feedback. You can also be sure to stay up to date with all the latest episodes and happenings from the show, as well as finding out how you can get involved in upcoming episodes by following our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as getting everything you need under one roof at theoznetwork.net. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak to you next time. Do you like exclusive stuff?
Yes, sir.
Do you like having access to your favorite podcast hosts in a way like never before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you wish you had access to our old Survivor Oz episodes that you can't find anywhere else online?
Oh, yeah.
If you answered yes to one, two, or all of those questions, then get excited because the Oz Network is now on Patreon. That's right, your favourite podcast has jumped on the Patreon bandwagon to enable a better listening experience for you, our listener. For more details, simply head to www.patreon.com/OzNetwork, where you can sign up for as little as $3 a month. It'll be the best decision you make since that last bad one you made.